The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and panic. You will grope around in broad daylight, just like a blind person groping into darkness, and you will not succeed at anything you do. You will be oppressed and robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. You will be engaged to a woman, but another man will ravish her. You will build a house, but someone else will live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will never enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be butchered before your eyes, but you won't get a single bite of the meat. Your donkey will be driven away, never to be returned. Your sheep will be given to the enemies, and no one will be there to help you. You will watch as your sons and daughters are taken away as slaves. Your heart will break as you long for them, but nothing you do will help. A foreign nation you have never heard about will eat the crops you worked so hard to grow. You will suffer under constant oppression and harsh treatment. You will go mad before all of the tragedy around you. Verse 35. The Lord will cover you from head to foot with incurable boils. Who did all these things? You see there where he said in 27:28, if you don't obey me, I will strike you with blindness. This is a curse that comes from God. If you do not obey me, I, the Lord, will strike you with blindness. So why would they ask the question? Why is this man born blind? Why? Somebody sinned, right? Who? They didn't know. They only asked the question, why was this man born blind? Well, you know, why do we never ask that question when we get sick? You may not want to intimidate somebody in your church by walking up to them, especially with no knowledge, that they have no knowledge of the truth. You wouldn't want to walk up and say, well, how are you feeling today? Well, I feel awful. I've got the flu. If it comes upon you, you've been to a healing school and you know the truth. So if it tries to come upon you, what should be your first statement? Let's say you get hoarse in your mouth and you all of a sudden you're getting a something in your throat and you're having trouble talking. What should be your first question? Oh, let me go to the doctor and get some pills. Oh, what did I do wrong, Lord? Oh, did I just get through reading my husband the Riot Act last night? Oh, no, I would never do something like that. If you do that, it can cause that. I mean, I've done these kind of things. I know, you know, I mean, I know these things. That's just like here a while back. I hate to tell these things on myself, but you know, once in a while I do something I'm not supposed to too. But Dave and I went out, I got a little Cessna 150 out here, a little two-place airplane, and I love to just go out and fly around once in a while because it don't cost nothing to fly it, you know. But I love to just take an hour or 30 minutes off sometimes when I can and just go out and fly around God's beautiful earth and just look at it. Well, I told Dave, I said, Dave, I'm going to run down here. And I got in the hangar right down there in the pasture. So I said, I'm going to run down there and I'm going to fly around for a few minutes. He said, can I go with you? I said, sure, come on. It'll carry two people. So we go down there and we fire the airplane up. We do a run-up test and everything. And it runs real good. I pull out on the runway and I go ripping down the runway and it cuts out a few times. Now, I don't like that. If that was a car, I might keep on going. But an airplane? No way. And so I turn around and I run back up and down the runway three or four times. You know, run up fast enough to take off. And it don't ever miss again. But I said, I ain't flying this airplane. I said, God showed me something here. I don't know what it is. But I said, I think I must have a fuel problem. So I come back, I go get some tools, and I go down and pull the cowling off, and I take the fuel filter and everything off. There's some trash in the fuel filter. And I say, whoa, there's the problem. So I pull the fuel filters off. I clean them out real good. I take the gas line off up to the carburetor. I take the carburetor and the air filter and everything off, and I bring them over here to the shop, and I'm going to clean everything, make it perfect. Because I'm an A&P airframe and power plant mechanic also. And so I said, well, I'll just overhaul the carburetor. So while I'm down there taking it off, it's all hard to work on. And I'm in under this and, Lord, you know, this guy that built this thing, he could have done a better job than this. You know, he could have made it a little bit roomier. It's so hard to get to under here. Do you detect a little grumbling and complaining in that? Do you detect that? You reckon God detected it too, huh? Does he say do all things without grumbling and complaining? Does he really? Do all things without grumbling and complaining. Surely God wouldn't expect us to do everything without grumbling and complaining. But he does. That's what he said. So I'm grumbling and complaining. I take the carburetor off or bring it up here to the shop. I put it on the bench and take the air cleaner off, and I'm taking the carburetor apart. And as I do, Dave walks over and says, Pastor, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm cleaning the carburetor on this little airplane. But I said, Dave, this engineer that built this thing, he must have stayed up nights trying to figure out a way to make this so hard to work on. Now, you even detected a little grumbling and complaining of that, didn't you, brother?
A little arrogance.
Just a little arrogance there. And I turned the carburetor over, and as I did, I hit the accelerator pedal, accelerator arm, and it shot a stream of 100-octane fuel, hit me right in the center of the right eye. Now, needless to say, that was no fun. It burned like fire. I said, oh, he said, Pastor, I'll run and get you some water. I said, okay, quick. And I said, as he's running to get me some water to flush up my eye with, I said, Lord, I need some help here. He said, I'm going to wash that log out of your eye so you can take the speck out of your brother's eyes. He said, instead of grumbling and complaining about this airplane, you should have been praising me that I gave you this airplane. And then you should have been praising me that I gave you the knowledge to fly this airplane. And he said, you should have been doing a lot of things in praising and nothing in grumbling and complaining. Oh, my goodness. So Dave brings the water and I flush my eye out and I praise him and thank him for healing my eye, and then I open my eye and everything's fuzzy. By the end of the day, every time I looked out there at something, the numbers were all fuzzy, and I said, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I promise you I'll do my best to never grumble and complain again. Isn't it amazing how he gets your attention? Yeah. I mean, when everything's going good, you know, I mean, no big deal, you know. But now I got a problem. I got a right eye I'm having trouble seeing clear out of. I'm really seeking God. I'm really praising Him for my eyes now. It's time to praise Him. But I can't see very good. And so I said, Lord, I promise you I'll do my best to never grumble and complain again. So the next morning I woke up, and by noon my eye was completely restored and everything was clear and sharp again. But let me tell you what. I haven't grumbled and complained, I don't think, since then. I'm trying to be a real good boy. Because I realize he's no respecter of persons. In fact, I've come to realize he'll swat me before he will you.
I don't know.
You don't? You know, God, He tells us what to do. Now then, I got just a couple more things I got to hit today, and then we're going to be through. I want to go to Matthew 8, 6 through 13. Now, we're nearly through, but you got to get a little bit of the... Huh? I'll get back to the blind man. That's not a problem there. I just wanted you to see, and today, I don't have the time to finish what I want to do with John 9, but today I just wanted you to know that the serious part about John 9 is the question, who sinned that this man is born blind? See, there is a reason, and we never ask that question. When you get sick, your pastor gets sick at your church. He's come down with cancer. Have you ever heard anybody say, Pastor, who sinned that you're sick? What have you done wrong? No, we never ask that. We just pray for him or rebuke the devil and command the devil to leave, and the devil don't leave. Why do we not get healed? If you're not getting healed after prayer or faith, there's still a sin. There's still a sin. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the pastor of the biggest church in the country. I don't care if you're the pastor of the littlest church in the country. If you're sick, God treats the wealthy and the poor exactly the same. He don't care. But He does care about sin. But in Matthew 8, 6 through 13, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and racked with pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Verse 8. Then the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know, because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slave, do this or that, they do it. Verse 10 and 11. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. Now, what is it that moves the hand of God? Faith. Absolutely right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he said, and I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. in verse 12. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go on home. What you have believed has happened. Now, I cannot overemphasize the importance of that one little line. What you have believed has happened. You see how important the new covenant is? What you have believed has happened. You know what happened? You know what we do in the church? We believe the wrong thing. The doctor, you go to the doctor, you get the feeling bad. You never ask why I have this pain, why I have sickness in my body. You never go to God and let God give you the answer. You just either go to the medicine cabinet and you get some of these things you saw on television because you don't know those people on television. You don't know if them people's telling you the truth. They're just telling you that this is the best medicine. It works six times better than the best thing on the market. Just buy this and I guarantee it will do it. And you ain't never seen the diagnosis, the checkout or nothing. You take totally what that person you don't even know said on television. You run down to the store and buy a bottle of that and you take it. Is that true? And you don't have a clue what's in that medicine. You don't have a clue. But instead of doing that, I challenge you from now on, anytime a pain or a sickness comes upon your body, stop and say, Lord, did I do something that doesn't please you? And then be ready for him to tell you. Because you may be amazed when he says, you're not loving your wife like I told you to love her. Lord, what do I got to do with this woman? He said, I told you to love her like I love the church. That's just like the only real knockdown dragout me and Cheryl had. Right after we got married, we were coming home from church and she was reading me the riot act. And she raised her voice at me and everything. And she was so upset at me. And I was trying to do something to please her. But I obviously didn't. And so when we got home, she's all upset. She goes running in the ministry room. She's unloading the car. And I go out back unloading stuff. And in a minute, she goes there and she said, God, this man that you gave me.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Job Was a Sinner, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.